for Lialogos Radio, the weekly radio program featuring the best in Greek music and culture, plus interviews with Greek and international newsmakers. Lialogos Radio with Michael Nevaralekis begins now.
Χαϊδεμένη μου κι αγγελοφιλημένη, αν δεις μπρος το κατώφλι σου καρδιά να σε προσμένει. Είναι η δική μου η καρδιά που κλαίει και σπαράζει, που ηκετεύει μια ματιά με σένα δε σε νοιάζει. Ένα μόνο με πειράζει, που για μένα δεν σε νοιάζει, που για μένα δεν σε νοιάζει, κι ας με τρώει το μαράζι. Ένα μόνο με πειράζει, που για μένα δεν σε νοιάζει, που για μένα δεν σε νοιάζει, κι ας με τρώει το μαράζι. Καροστολισμένη μου κι αστροστεφανωμένη, αν μια καρδιά στα πόδια σου ματώνει λαβωμένη. Είναι η δική μου η καρδιά για σένα που στενάζει, που λίγη αγάπη λαχταρά μα εσένα δε σε νοιάζει. Ένα μόνο με πειράζει, που για μένα δεν σε νοιάζει, που για μένα δεν σε νοιάζει, κι ας με τρώει το μαράζι. Ένα μόνο με πειράζει, που για μένα δεν σε νοιάζει, που για μένα δεν σε νοιάζει, κι ας με τρώει το μαράζι.
That was Pandelis Thalassinos with a beautiful song to start out today's broadcast with Ena Mono Me Pirazi. This is the Lialogos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which airs on 17 radio stations worldwide across 5 countries, 4 continents, online and on shortwave. My name is Michael Nevradakis and we are back after a 1 week hiatus, where today on our broadcast, the Lialogos interview series will feature a groundbreaking interview that you will absolutely not want to miss with longtime ABC News and National Public Radio reporter Kati Martin, the author of The Polk Conspiracy, Murder and Cover-Up in the Case of CBS News correspondent George Polk. Martin will talk to us about this book and about the case of George Polk, an American journalist who was murdered in Greece in 1948 in the midst of the country's civil war, and the cover-up which followed the murder on the part of American, British, and Greek authorities, with Greece's communist rebels being blamed for the murder instead of its true perpetrators, who were members of Greece's far-right parastate. In our interview today, Martin will share with us more details about who George Polk was, about her book and the investigation which she conducted into Polk's murder, and the reasons why, over 20 years after its initial publication, her book still remains censored in Greece. This interview is coming up in just a few moments here on the Allegros Radio, and we will follow it up with our Commentary of the Week segment, plus some great Greek music, including a musical tribute to Greek singer, songwriter, and composer Lakis Papadopoulos. Coming up right now, though, is this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our interview with journalist and author Kati Martin. The Diálogos interview series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on the Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on the Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series is renowned journalist and author Kati Martin, a longtime reporter and correspondent for ABC News and National Public Radio in the United States. Kati has won a number of awards for her journalistic work and is the author of several books, including The Polk Conspiracy, Murder and Cover-Up in the Case of CBS News Correspondent George Polk. Kati, welcome to our program today.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be with you.
And we will be talking much more about George Polk and his story in our interview today, but to get us started, share with us a few words, first of all, about yourself and your writing and journalism career.
With pleasure. I'm an author of 8 books. I'm a former ABC News correspondent, foreign correspondent, and National Public Radio diplomatic correspondent. I specialize in nonfiction books. My last book, which was a bestseller, a New York Times bestseller, was called Paris, A Love Story, and it's a memoir. It sounds odd for someone in mid-career to write a memoir, but it basically focuses on my marriage to the late Richard Holbrooke and the extraordinary lives that we lived together.
Now, let's set the stage here for a moment. George Polk was related to 2 former U.S. presidents. He had a pretty illustrious stint in the U.S. military, and he had a sort of wanderlust which took him across the globe. How did he end up in journalism as a profession?
George Polk's family lost everything, lost their fortune, their livelihood, their beautiful home in Texas as a result of the Depression. They were a very prominent Fort Worth, Texas family, as you said, with presidential roots. And like so many products of the Depression, he took off in search of his future because there was no future in Texas. And he ultimately became a war hero, fought in the Pacific as a pilot, and then was recruited by CBS News, the most prestigious news organization of its day, by the legendary Ed Murrow. He became one of Murrow's boys, a team of really extraordinary, talented, and brave reporters who covered the Second World War and its aftermath. And George was a rising star in that constellation. And Greece, of course, was one of the most important stories of the late 40s because Greece was where the United States decided to draw a red line against Soviet expansion. So the famous Truman Doctrine was crafted to pour millions of dollars into propping up, shoring up the Greek government, which in those days was a right-wing government. There was still a monarch. And it was the first time that the United States really got in bed with a deeply corrupt and deeply unpopular government for the sake of our greater interests. And the road from Athens led directly to Saigon, in my view, and the Vietnam War, where again we got involved with a government that did not have the support of its own people, and it was a Faustian bargain. And the Polk Conspiracy, my book about the murder of this brave CBS correspondent, really illustrates the high price of what happens when the United States government puts so-called national security interests ahead of its fundamental values. George Polk was really the first casualty of the Cold War.
And within this context, George Polk, as you mentioned, went to work in Greece as a correspondent for CBS News. What was the nature of George Polk's journalism, his reporting from Greece, and how did authorities both in Greece and back home react at the time? It seems that it didn't take him very long to make his presence felt in Greece.
George Polk is considered one of the great American journalists, a very prestigious journalism prize. The George Polk Award is named after him. I might add that both my mother and father are winners of that prize for their reporting. But at any rate, Polk was a fearless reporter who didn't let anything get in his way. That is why he ultimately paid with his life for his reporting. But he believed that it was in the good of all to know the truth. And whether that truth made our own government, the United States government, look bad or not. And indeed, George Polk's coverage was so uncompromising that three capitals, Athens, London, and Washington, all had him in their sights because he was an unstoppable truth teller. You know, the world owes people like that a huge debt because he, insofar as there was truthful reporting about what was happening in Athens in 1948, where you had this corrupt government, it came from George Polk, so he had to be silenced.
And it didn't take long, from what you mentioned in the book, for George Polk to even be accused by the Greek press at the time of being a communist.
Well, that's right. That was always the quick way to ruin somebody's reputation, was to smear him with the label communist. George Polk was no more a communist than he was an astronaut. He was just an objective reporter who saw very clearly that there were good guys and bad guys on both sides, but that the bad guys were in power and that the United States was pouring millions of dollars into propping up this corrupt government. And he, Polk, was on the scene there and saw that the government was basically keeping itself in power and not doing right by its own people, and that the United States shouldn't be supporting such a government. In fact, as I tell in the Polk conspiracy, it wasn't only the Greeks who were responsible for George Polk's death, but my own country, the United States, also played a shameful role, not in his death, but in the cover-up that followed. And our staunchest ally, Great Britain, actually played a role in his murder.
We are on the air with journalist and author Kati Martin here on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. And Kati, without giving too much of the story away, what seems to have been the last straw as far as George Polk's presence in Greece is concerned is a meeting he had with the Prime Minister of Greece at the time, Konstantin Tsaladaris, just a few days before he was murdered. What was the nature of this meeting?
George Polk got a tip-off, one of those that good reporters get from anonymous sources. This source was from the Chase Manhattan Bank, saying that the Greek Prime Minister, Mr. Tsaladaris, had just deposited a very large sum of money in a personal account in the Chase Bank in New York. And because Polk was such a scrupulous, fair-minded reporter, he went to the Prime Minister to get his reaction to that before he broadcast it, and thereby signed his own death warrant. He lived only for a few days after that. And when I was researching the Polk conspiracy, I had the opportunity to interview President Truman's closest advisor, Clark Clifford, and I asked him what would have happened had George Polk lived to broadcast this story of a prime minister who was being propped up by United States aid dollars, having such a huge bank account. And Clifford said it would have been impossible for Truman to go back to Congress to get any more funding for Greece. So in a way, Tsaldaris and the people who organized this assassination, they were right to do so, as awful as that sounds, to save themselves. I'm in no way condoning the murder, but in practicing the highest standards of his profession, George Polk sealed his death warrant. He should have left Greece once he was armed with that information and broadcast it from a safe place. But as I said earlier, he was a very scrupulous reporter and a very brave one, and he paid with his life. The story did not get out until I reported it in my book.
Now, it should be mentioned that at this time, in addition to Greece's corrupt government, there was also a rather robust and dangerous far-right parastate of sorts that was operating in Greece as well, which had close connections to the government and to various other forces, and it seems that these forces were able to approach Polk in the days before his murder.
Yes, well, of course, the prime minister did not pull the trigger, but his allies in the Piraeus underground, a secret and very dangerous society, was responsible for the murder. I actually found who it was, the gunman, as well as who the organizers were. And, you know, for the first time, I tell the story of how precisely this happened, how he was lured into a trap. George Polk was determined before he left Greece to interview the head of the communist guerrillas, General Marcos, who was in hiding in the mountains, and went to Salonika hoping for such a meeting, which he had been promised. It was a trap, and he fell into it. And, of course, the right-wing government cooked up a massive fictional plot of how it was Marcos and Marcos's guerrillas who assassinated Polk, which made absolutely no sense, because Marcos had every interest in getting his version of the Civil War broadcast to the world. He had no interest in assassinating George Polk. But the terrible thing about the Polk conspiracy is that it had not only George Polk as its victim, but a Greek reporter named Gregory Staktopoulos, who was arrested and tortured into a false confession that he had participated in the death of his colleague, George Polk. And so there were two victims here, George Polk murdered and Staktopoulos, whose life was ruined because he spent so much of it in terrible conditions in a Greek prison.
And we're talking here about an investigation, or rather a cover-up, and of course a false confession, in which American and British officials were also intimately involved.
Absolutely. The British, who had been the number one superpower, shall we say, before the United States assumed that role in Greece, deeply involved in Greek affairs and with the Greek monarchy, played a treacherous role in the Polk case. And the Secret Service, MI6, was deeply involved. And I tell the story of a Greek woman married to a British reporter who was charged with keeping Polk's widow occupied and smuggling from Polk's apartment any compromising documents, including the letter that he got from the Chase Bank about Saldarius's bank account. And when I wrote this book, most of the players were still alive, including this woman who I interviewed for the book, as well as the British Secret Service agent who I also interviewed, as well as the man Randall Coate, who was always suspected of playing a role in the assassination. So all these people were still alive then, as well as the members of the Polk family, who all collaborated with me and for the first time opened all their files and letters. But really, my biggest piece of luck was that the third victim of the Polk murder was another American hero named Jim Kellis, who was brought in by the American journalists, who were, of course, outraged by what had happened to their colleague, and formed a committee. And General Wild Bill Donovan, who was the founder of our Central Intelligence Agency, was in charge of that investigation. And his deputy, named Jim Kellis, found out the real plot, which we have just been speaking about, which led straight to the right wing and to the Piraeus underground. And he was also terribly treated by the Greek right wing and by Washington, because his story, the true story, was not the story that they wanted the world to know, which was that it was the communists and this innocent Greek guy who was beaten into a confession, Staktopoulos. So Jim Kellis, who was no longer alive when I started examining the official story, and basically the official story unraveled under my examination, Jim Kellis had a colleague who had saved a lot of Kellis's documents, and I was the beneficiary of those, and they make up really the core of the Polk conspiracy. So that was a piece of journalistic good luck that I benefited from. But tragically, I couldn't publish the book in Greece, where it really should be published, because Mr. Tsaldaris' son sued me for criminal libel. So I had to hire a very prominent Greek defense lawyer, and we ultimately, because I didn't want to spend a year in a Greek cell, we ultimately settled out of court, but to this day, I haven't been able to bring my book to the people who should really know what happened to George Polk. I think the George Polk story has cast a huge shadow on Washington-Athens relations, because Washington behaved so poorly in those early days, and the Greek people were so manipulated by their own government and with Washington's collusion. And so I think that it's time that the true story be told to the Greek people. I was not only sued by the Greek right wing, I was also sued by the British, who were also very upset with my findings. And the lady who played this treacherous role, her name was Mary Barber. Later she married a well-known British ambassador named Nico Henderson. So Lady Henderson she was. She also sued me and prevented publication of my book in Britain, and also blocked a story that Vanity Fair wanted to publish about the story, because British libel laws are such that it's almost impossible for the truth teller to be heard. So it was probably the most dramatic episode in my life as a reporter and a historian. And now I'm very happy that the book has been reissued and that it finally has a chance of being heard in Greece by Greeks.
We are on the air with journalist and author Kati Martin here on Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos interview series. And Kati, coming back to George Polk's story and his murder case, you mentioned, of course, his widow a few moments ago, and one of the stories that you recount in the book has to do with the fact that there were even attempts made to implicate his widow in the murder. You wrote about an incident where the son of the Greek Prime Minister Tsaldaris traveled to New York City essentially to terrorize her.
Exactly. She was by now, Polk's young widow was a student at Columbia University, and young Mr. Tsaldaris, who subsequently became the head of the Conservative Party, really threatened her and told her that she too would become a victim like her husband if she maintained her version of the story, and that she should basically shut up or face something dire. And it's very interesting, because years later, my husband, Ambassador Richard Holbrooks, who was in charge of Greek and Cypriot matters for the State Department, was seated next to Mr. Tsaldaris at a dinner, and Mr. Tsaldaris said, "Oh, I would love to entertain you and your wife." Of course, he had no idea that Ambassador Holbrooks' wife was Kati Martin, whom he had sued, "in my home and come and visit." And of course, my husband didn't tell him that I was in those days under a criminal libel suit from him, and thus unable to accept his hospitality. But it was kind of amusing how the story just really until now hasn't been resolved. And I think it's time.
Now, looking at the innocent man that was essentially framed for this murder, Grigoris Taktopoulos, from what I understand, he was eventually able to be released. But was there ever any actual push to have this case reopened in Greece?
There have been, including very recently, several attempts, but none successful. I think it's still a rather sensitive issue, because there was so much big power manipulation and so much corruption around this case that it's taken on an enormous symbolic value and role. But I think now he should be definitively pardoned, so that at least his family, he's gone now. He really paid a massive price. His life was ruined. And, you know, what the shocking thing for me in all this was that, you know, at the same time that Moscow was holding show trials where innocents were convicted by Stalin, the West was also capable of such a terrible betrayal of justice and our fundamental values of a fair trial for and innocent till proven guilty. All of that was betrayed in the Polk conspiracy.
We are on the air with journalist and author Kati Martin here on the Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos Interview Series. And Kati, this book was originally published in the early 1990s. Ultimately, what was your inspiration in writing this book, in doing this investigation, and in coming out with this story?
Well, first of all, I was a huge admirer of George Polk, the reporter, and I'm a truth teller. I like to investigate cases that seem to be solved but somehow don't really hold under real scrutiny. I had no particular political bias one way or another. I'm a child of the Cold War. I grew up in communist Hungary. My parents were journalists who were jailed by the communists. I didn't see them for a couple of years when I was a child. So, if anything, I was biased against the communists. I was a refugee myself from the communists with my parents. So that was my personal bias. But this story just didn't hold up. You know, the official story just didn't hold up. And I had some very lucky breaks that reporters sometimes get. And I have never worked so hard on investigating anything. And I tell you, when I was in Salonika, when I already knew who the plotters were, who the organization that organized the murder, and in fact knew the name of the gunman, I was pretty scared, because if they were capable of killing one reporter, why not another one? But I'm happy to say that I live to tell this tale, and it feels pretty good that George Polk's story is now getting another chance to be heard.
You wrote in a book that by supporting this particular right-wing regime in Greece, the United States created a monster that would grow beyond their control. And we're talking about a time that was right at the beginnings of the Cold War. How did U.S. involvement in Greece set the tone for U.S. foreign policy in the coming decades? And how did it set the tone for United States involvement in Greece in the coming years?
Well, we compromised our fundamental values in Greece by being party to a cover-up, we the United States. And it was the first time that we partnered with such a deeply corrupt government, but it would not be the last. I maintain that the road from Greece led to our involvement in Vietnam. It was the beginning of anything for what we called national security interests. And I think in the long run, that is a Faustian bargain, and the United States has to, of course, have national security interests, but it also has to, above all, be true to its fundamental values.
Looking at the situation in Greece today with a severe economic crisis, a rather unpopular government which nevertheless has the support of the European Union and some foreign powers, the rapid rise of the far right and the reemergence of the old left-right divisions in Greek society, would you say that much has really changed in Greece since George Polk's time?
I think the George Polk story is really a morality tale that should be read by Greeks today about what happens when you sell out your values for short-term political gains. And I think it's an important lesson in how we can't make those bargains. Neither Washington nor Athens should make those bargains for a quick fix, because ultimately we pay massively.
Before we wrap up, the Polk conspiracy, murder and cover-up in the case of CBS News correspondent George Polk, has recently been re-released as an e-book as part of the Forbidden Bookshelf series, and it has a new introduction as well, I believe. Tell us about this new edition and about the Forbidden Bookshelf series.
I'm really, really thrilled that the Polk conspiracy is getting a second life under the Forbidden Book. My book was not really forbidden. It was a bestseller, actually, in the United States, and Mel Gibson bought the rights for a film about it and still owns the rights to it. So I hope that eventually we will see the movie. So I can't say that my book was forbidden, except in your country, in Greece. And that, I think, is shameful. And it was forbidden only because of one man's criminal libel suit against me, the head of the Greek right wing in the 90s. And so I am grateful to the Forbidden Books that it is now campaigning to bring my book to the one place where it is still forbidden, and that's Greece, where the killing of this very brave American reporter occurred.
Well, Kati, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today here on the Diálogos Radio and the Diálogos Interview Series, and for sharing this incredible story with us as well.
Well, Michael, it's been a great pleasure, and I thank you for talking to me and for bringing the Polk conspiracy to a new audience that I hope will read it.
At Attention iTunes users, Diálogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to Diálogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. We just wrapped up this week's edition of the Diálogos interview series here on Diálogos Radio, and our interview with journalist Kati Martin, author of The Polk Conspiracy, Murder and Cover-Up in the Case of CBS News Correspondent George Polk. As with all of our interviews, the podcast of this interview will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, where you can also find our on-demand programming, our articles and written work, and listen to our online radio station, Diálogos Radio 24/7. Our podcasts are also available in the official Diálogos Radio apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and for Google Chrome, and in iTunes, TuneIn.com, the Windows Marketplace, and the Nobex Radio, WeCast, and Player FM apps. We would also like to take this opportunity to formally welcome our new listeners to our program who are hearing our broadcast on Global 24 Radio, broadcasting across the world on shortwave radio on 93.95 kHz on the 31-meter band every Thursday at 9 p.m. UTC and online at global24radio.com. We're excited to have this opportunity to truly expand the global reach of Diálogos Radio and to essentially serve as a replacement for Greece's foreign radio service, The Voice of Greece, which has not broadcast since June 2013, when the Greek government brazenly and illegally took it, along with Greece's national public broadcaster ERT, off the air. We'll get back to some great Greek music now here on Diálogos Radio, and coming up after that is our commentary of the week, plus our special musical tribute to Lakis Papadopoulos.
Καμιά φορά λέω να αλλάξω ουρανό, μα δεν υπάρχουν δρόμοι. Κι άλλη φορά σκέφτομαι πόσο σ' αγαπώ και σου ζητώ συγγνώμη. Τώρα δεν είμαστε παιδιά, να έχουμε φως μες στην καρδιά να μας σκεπάζει. Μα σ' αγαπώ σου το έχω πει, κι η αγάπη σου σαν Κυριακή με ξεκουράζει. Καμιά φορά λέω να αλλάξω ουρανό, μα δεν υπάρχουν δρόμοι. Κι άλλη φορά σκέφτομαι πόσο σ' αγαπώ και σου ζητώ συγγνώμη. Βλέπεις πως άλλαξε ο καιρός και γίνει ο κόσμος βροχερός, όλο χαλάζει. Μα σ' αγαπώ σου το έχω πει, κι αν όλα μοιάζουν φυλακή δε με πειράζει. Καμιά φορά λέω να αλλάξω ουρανό, μα δεν υπάρχουν δρόμοι. Κι άλλη φορά σκέφτομαι πόσο σ' αγαπώ και σου ζητώ συγγνώμη. Δεν υπάρχουν δρόμοι. Κι άλλη φορά σκέφτομαι πόσο σ' αγαπώ και σου ζητώ συγγνώμη. Καμιά φορά.
δικό μου διθέσιο. Καλό μου αμάξι που περνάς από τα πέσιο. Ξυστά κινητήρα και πλαίσιο. Στα έχω πειράξει για να τη βγεις πιο μπροστά. Τη στιγμή που σ' αγόραζα για να τρυπάρω το κενό μου εξαγόραζα δειλά την καρδούλα που χώρισα. Ίσως να πάρω σ' άλλη ζωή πιο καλά. Μη με πας από το σπίτι, τα ακούς στο Θεό. Ένα πάρκινγκ απρόσωπο θα αποφασίσω ποιον εαυτό θα έχω πια. Θα γυαλίζουν οι ζάντες σου με το φεγγάρι δοκιμή στις αφάντες σου μικρό. Το μηδέν στο 200 μας ποιος θα το πάρει μόλι τη γη στο φτερό. Μη με πας από το σπίτι.
Στα δυο σου χέρια γερά κράτησε με. Αυτό το βράδυ κοντά σου με δω. Κι όταν μου λες πως μ' αγαπάς, στον ουρανό ψηλά με πας. Στον ουρανό ψηλά με πας. Αστηρευτή σου γλυκά, στην αγάπη σου τη βρήκα. Κι αν ποτέ σε χάσω μωρό μου μαζί σου κι εγώ θα χαθώ. Την αστηρευτή σου γλυκά, στην αγάπη σου τη βρήκα. Κι αν ποτέ σε χάσω μωρό μου μαζί σου κι εγώ θα χαθώ. Thank you. και σαν να βουν τα μαύρα σου μάτια και νοσταλγίες κρυφές μου ξυπνά. Αυτά μου δίνουν την πνοή και μου ομορφαίνουν τη ζωή. Και μου ομορφαίνουν τη ζωή. Την αστηρευτή σου γλυκά, στην αγάπη σου τη βρήκα. Κι αν ποτέ σε χάσω, μωρό μου, μαζί σου κι εγώ θα χαθώ. Αστηρευτή σου γλυκά, στην αγάπη σου την βρήκα. Κι αν ποτέ σε χάσω, μωρό μου, μαζί σου κι εγώ θα χαθώ. Σου την βρήκα, κι αν ποτέ σε χάσω, μωρό μου, μαζί σου κι εγώ θα χαθώ. Κι αν ποτέ σε χάσω, μωρό μου, μαζί σου κι εγώ θα χαθώ. Κι αν ποτέ σε χάσω, μωρό μου, μαζί σου κι εγώ θα χαθώ.
Dialogos Radio 24/7, our online radio station which features the best mix of great Greek music, plus programming and interviews from the vast Dialogos Radio archive. Tune in through our website, dialogosmedia.org, in iTunes Radio, or at tunein.com. Manolis Dilekis just wrapped up that musical set here on Dialogos Radio with Moro Mou, while right before that we heard Haris Alexiou singing Lithesio and Marinella starting out that set of songs with Kamia Fora. Recently, Dialogos Radio wrapped up its fall fundraiser, and we wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of our listeners who made a pledge and who showed their support for non-profit, non-commercial, independent, volunteer-run Greek radio programming. Your donations mean a lot to us and will help sustain our programming into the new year. And coming up right now here on Dialogos Radio is our commentary of the week. Dialogos Radio's commentary of the week. Each week, Michael Nevradakis provides views and opinions on issues pertaining to Greece and to the worldwide Greek community. Coming up next here on Dialogos Radio. This month marks the 70th anniversary of the Dekembriana massacre, which took place in Athens, Greece in December 1944. Greece had just come out of World War II as an extremely battered, decimated country, having lost 7% of its population during the war, the largest percentage of any country, but was almost immediately dragged into new conflict, this time between Greece's resistance forces from EAM, which had led the resistance against the Nazi occupation, and a right-wing Greek government, along with the police, the far-right organization X, led by Yorgos Grivas, and last but not least, the British Armed Forces. Britain had come to Greece supposedly as an ally and friend, as the foreign power seen by many Greeks as the number one hope for the country to be saved and to be rebuilt from its post-war ruins. These hopes did not last long, however. Contrary to working with the resistance fighters who had so successfully warded off the Italians and the Germans, the British army took the side of the far right in Greece, of those forces which had collaborated with the Nazi occupiers, including the police and underground terror groups, which saw the resistance and the left as their sworn enemies. The resistance forces were seen, not entirely accurately, as being loyal to communism and to the Soviet Union, and for Winston Churchill and the foreign powers, this was unacceptable, as they had carved Southern Europe and the Mediterranean region into the Western sphere of influence. Instead of the resistance forces being allowed to participate in a popular Greek democratic government, the British aimed to bring back the foreign-imposed monarchy and did not allow members of the resistance to join the Greek armed forces, while they released members of the far-right collaborationist forces from prison and allowed them to take up posts in the government, police, and armed forces. This set the stage for the bloody violence of December 3, 1944, when a peaceful protest in Syntagma Square in Athens quickly turned violent, when Greek police, under orders of police chief Angelos Evert, who was of German descent, fired upon a crowd from positions atop the Greek Parliament building and the British headquarters at the Grand Breton Hotel. When all was said and done, 28 people had been killed. In the days which followed, the British imposed martial law, conducted aerial bombing campaigns in Athens, and anyone suspected of being a member of the Greek resistance was rounded up and sent to concentration camps within Greece or in the Middle East. The resulting clashes led to the start of the Greek Civil War, spreading more violence, bloodshed, and tragedy throughout Greece. The George Polk murder, which we heard about in today's edition of the Diálogos interview series and our interview with Kati Martin, reflects the nasty and unfortunate results of these actions. The British and American governments supported the same far-right forces which had collaborated with the Nazis and the occupiers and which had fought against the Greek resistance which had helped to free Greece. They did this in the name of preventing the spread of so-called communism, and in the process, they created a bitter left-right divide which still exists in Greece today. The British, as did the Americans later on, participated in the torture and imprisonment as well as the banishment of thousands of Greeks, just as they participated in the cover-up of the murder of George Polk, which was to follow. Nowhere else in Europe were Nazi sympathizers allowed such free rein as they were in Greece after the war, and the results are still evident in Greek society today. These were the same forces which led the military coup which overthrew a democratic government and brought in a dictatorship in 1967 with Western support. These are also the same forces which largely comprise the far-right Golden Dawn Party, as well as the governing New Democracy Party today. What should be clear from such episodes, and indeed from almost the entire history of the modern Greek state since its formation, is that the British and American governments are not, and never have been, Greece's friends. Time and time again, they have pitted the Greek people against each other, they have imposed monarchies and dictatorships on the country, they supported the Turkish invasion and continuing occupation of Cyprus, and they continue to support such governments in Greece today. It is an absolute shame that, due to the crisis and due to the economic hard times, which have repeatedly befallen Greece in the past, that so many Greeks have immigrated and continue to immigrate to the same countries which are in large part responsible for Greece's destruction, crisis, and its existing divisions. It is shameful that these same countries, then, have the audacity to criticize Greece for the growth of its far-right parties and for the supposed racism which exists in Greece toward immigrants, when the far-right is a monster that they helped create, just as they have created the conditions which are forcing these unfortunate migrants from their homes in the Middle East. 70 years after the Dekemvriana, divide and conquer still rules Greek society. Those who support the status quo and remaining in Europe versus those who do not. Those who support the supposed leftist and communist versus those on the right. Public servants versus employees in the private sector. Perhaps more than anything else, this legacy of divide and conquer is the true lasting legacy of British and American involvement in Greece. Take Diálogos Radio on the go with you with the new Diálogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Diálogos Radio and Diálogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. We just wrapped up our commentary of the week, and coming up now here on Diálogos Radio is our special musical tribute to Greek singer, songwriter, and composer Lakis Papadopoulos. Born in Athens on December 7, 1948, Papadopoulos' musical journey began at a very early age at the Hellenic Odeon, and during his teenage years, he joined his first rock band, The Dragons. In the 1970s, Papadopoulos joined another band, Herakliske DNA, as a guitarist, vocalist, and bouzouki player, but it was not until the 1980s and the 1990s that Papadopoulos truly began to become known to Greek audiences, writing the music for songs made popular by such singers as Vasilis Papakostandinou, Areleta, Eleni Limou, Manolis Mitsias, and others. During the same period, Papadopoulos also released many of his own albums with his own lyrics and vocals. Papadopoulos continues to compose music and lyrics and to sing to the present day, and has released over 10 albums and 3 compilations in total, in addition to his work collaborating playing with other famous Greek musicians. We will hear a selection of Papadopoulos' work coming up now as part of our special musical tribute here on Diálogos Radio.
Καταστραμμένα βράδια με τεράς πεζοδρόμια στην Κηφισίας. Δυο-δυο τα βήματά σου αλφάδια, στένα ταξίδια φαντασίας. Στις ερημινιές και στα σκοτάδια η νύχτα εσύ κι η πολιτεία. Πρόσωπα δυστυχισμένα άδεια που περιφέρουν την άνοια. Ψεύτικα τα βράδια στην πεθαμένη Κηφισίας. Γεύση από φτηνή σαμπάνια, γέλιο από άνοστα αστεία. Κι εσύ αποκομμένη μόνη, χαμένη μες στην αηδία. Ψάχνεις μια γεύση σαν αφιόνι, ηθοποιός από βουβή ταινία.
Για να σε εκδικηθώ σου σκίζω τις φωτογραφίες, εσύ όπως κι εγώ. Κομμάτια στις γωνιές και στις πλατείες, τα γράμματα σου και εγώ. Μέσα στο πυρετό μου και σβήνω το όνομά σου μαζί με το δικό μου για να σε εκδικηθώ. Πέταω ενθυμία και δώρα κι εσύ όπως κι εγώ. Θρύψαλα και σκουπίδια τώρα τις ζωγραφιές σου σκίζω. Τα πόστερ π' αγαπούσες κι βάφω τις κουρτίνες. Το χρώμα που μισούσε.
Για να γιατρέψω τις ατελειώτες πληγές, αφού δεν βγήκες από μέσα μου ποτέ. Για να γιατρέψω τις ατελειώτες πληγές, αφού δεν βγήκες από μέσα μου.
Πετάω ενθυμία και δώρα και εσύ όπως κι εγώ. Θρύψαλα και σκουπίδια τώρα τις ζωγραφιές σου σκίζω.
πως θέρμα αγαπούσε. Και βάφω τις κουρτίνες στο χρώμα που μισούσε.
Για να γιατρέψω τις ατέλειωτες πληγές, αφού δεν βγήκες από μέσα μου ποτέ. Για να γιατρέψω τις ατέλειωτες πληγές, αφού δεν βγήκες από μέσα μου.
Follow Dialogos Radio on Facebook and Twitter and remain connected to all our latest news and updates. Check us out today at facebook.com/dialogosmedia and at twitter.com/dialogosmedia. This is Dialogos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program, which is heard worldwide across 17 radio stations and online, where today we are featuring a special musical tribute to musician Lakis Papadopoulos. We just heard Dimitris Mitropanos along with Lakis Papadopoulos singing Για να σε εκδικηθώ, a song with music also composed by Papadopoulos, while right before that we heard Vicky Mosoriou singing Odos Kai Fisias with lyrics and music composed by Lakis Papadopoulos. Today's broadcast of Dialogos Radio is just about ready to come to a close, but we will be back on the air again next week, same time, same place, with a broadcast that you will absolutely not want to miss, the Dialogos Radio Holiday Special, which will feature some Greek holiday music, as well as a special interview with a well-known Greek-American comedian and entertainer, Yannis Pappas. Some of you may have seen his videos where he performs as Mr. Panos, others may have seen his comedy specials on television, and next week, Yannis Pappas will join us to talk about his comedy, about Mr. Panos and his other characters, about his current projects, and a whole lot more as well, in what promises to be a fun and festive interview to wrap up the year here on the Dialogos Radio. For now, though, we will close out today's broadcast with one final song, written, composed, and performed by Lakis Papadopoulos, titled Vals tis Gitonias. Thank you for joining us today here on the Dialogos Radio, and have a wonderful weekend.
Ξέρεις, εγώ είμαι.
Έχω να σου πω χιλιάδες πράγματα. Έλα τώρα μικρή μου και πάρε μ' αγκαλιά.